Joshua chapter 1, while you're turning there, this evening in our service, Russell Holland and his wife will be with us. Our missionary is going to Norway. He'll be presenting their ministry and preaching for us tonight, so trust you, he'll be here for that. They are the son and daughter-in-law of our missionaries there in Sawtooth, Canada, the Holland family that are way up north. They're coming home on furlough, and it takes about 2 weeks to get out of northern Canada. You got to catch a boat, you got to catch this, you got to make sure there's no ice and all this. I mean, it takes a long time for the parents to get back down, so they'll be back in the States here pretty soon. But anyway, they're going to be with us tonight. And then our deacons and trustees, we're going to meet tonight after the evening service, so don't forget that. So a lot of things coming up. Just keep those things in mind. It's good to have my Dr. Sam and his wife, Kathy Gipp, with us, otherwise known as my sister and my brother-in-law. And, of course, Sam has preached for us a number of times here over the years, and they were up in Vermont. They drove 800 miles yesterday, got here about 12:45 last night, and they'll hit the road this afternoon. They go to Cincinnati, park their vehicle, and then head to Canada. So they had a kind of a layover, which is very rare for them on a Sunday. And I didn't know this till yesterday, and Kathy said, "We're looking forward to hearing you preaching." No, that was a clue. Let Sam rest. So I'm letting Sam rest. And so I'm nervous this morning because I just am. Anyway, I'll get over it eventually, but I'm glad to have my family here this morning. Joshua chapter 1, we're going to look at verses 6 through 9. Joshua chapter 1, verses 6 through 9. "Be strong and of a good courage. For unto this people shalt thou divide for an inheritance the land which I swear unto their fathers to give them. Only be thou strong and very courageous, that thou mayest observe to do according to all the law which Moses my servant commanded thee. Turn not from it to the right hand or to the left, that thou mayest prosper whithersoever thou goest. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. Have not I commanded thee? Be strong and of a good courage. Be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed. For the Lord thy God is with thee whithersoever thou goest." Let's pray. Father, I thank you for your book. I thank you, Lord, that it is changing me. I thank you, Lord, that it is changing many in this auditorium, and the desire is that it would change all of us. Again, Father, should there be someone here that has never repented of their sin and put their faith and trust in your work on Calvary, pray today would be the day that they would not delay. Today is the day of salvation, you tell us, and I pray today they would come to you and be saved. Most in this auditorium are saved. I believe most people in this auditorium love you. Lord, get us into even a greater and a deeper love with you. Father, there are people here who are going through things that I do not understand. Burdens and heartaches I don't comprehend, but you do. May you minister to every person in this auditorium today. Be glorified through what is preached in your word. We'll thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. I learned a pastor friend of mine just recently found out that his little granddaughter has cancer. I don't know the full extent of it, but it doesn't sound good. And so I messaged him this week and just said, "I'm praying for your granddaughter. I'm praying for you." And he messaged me back, and in that message it said, "Joshua chapter 1, verses 6 through 9. Exclamation point, exclamation point, exclamation point. Courage." He can't take his granddaughter's cancer away. He doesn't have that ability. But he can trust the Lord through this. And he can have courage. You and I need it. We need it in this life. There are a lot of things that are thrown our way, good and bad. A lot of heartaches, a lot of trials, a lot of tribulations that come into life. And we need courage to get through whatever it is that God has allowed to come into our life. You need courage to face every challenge that's brought your way every single day. So here in this passage, you find God personally speaking to Joshua, who was about to go in a way that he had never been before. Now I say that knowing that 40 years earlier, he had come to the brink of Canaan, stood there at Jordan, and actually he, with 11 other men, went into Canaan to spy out the land. You know the story. You know those 12 men went in. 40 days they were in that land, spied it out, came back, and gave a report. And they said, you know what? God was truthful. It is a land that flows with milk and honey. That's the truth. It is a good land. Look at the size of these grapes. Look at what we brought back. It is a true report. However, there are giants in the land. And there are walled cities in the land. And there are trained armies in that land. And we don't stand a chance. That's amazing to me how just months earlier they watched one man with a rod in his hand bring down the greatest empire in the world, the greatest military in the world, and months later they don't even have the courage to step by faith. You know, that's just like me. I look back at my life and see the miraculous things, the great answers to prayer that he has brought. But when he brings a new challenge, many times I quake in fear to go forward. Maybe you find yourself in that position. Well, here is Joshua, and he is one man who did not quake in fear. He was one, along with Caleb, who said, we are well able to go over and win because God said we could. Well, the 10 outranked and outvoted the 2, and the people whined and complained and feared. And God said, okay, for every day that the spies were in the wilderness, those 40 days, I'm going to add a year to your wilderness wanderings. And for the next 40 years, they wandered in circles in the wilderness until that generation died out. And now they're brought back again to the brink of Jordan, ready to cross over into Jordan. But now it is a little bit different. I said, this was a way that he had never gone before. And I mean this. When he came the first time, he was a servant to Moses. He had been Moses' servant for some 40 years. And everything was Moses' responsibility. I mean, you know how that goes. I think it was Harry Truman that said, the buck stops here. Meaning that in my administration, if there is a failure, if there is a mistake, if there is a question of integrity, in my administration, you're not going to blame the Secretary of State. You're not going to blame this person. You're not going to blame, you know, the press secretary. You're going to blame the president. The buck stops here. I've been in ministry now 34 years, 17 years. My first 17 was as an assistant pastor. I found out something when I became a pastor. It's far different being a pastor than it is being an assistant pastor. I got up and went home, and if there's going to be blame, it was sent back to Pastor Jackson or it was sent to Pastor Nisley. When I became a head pastor, I found out something. The buck stops here. And if somebody makes a mistake, the buck stops here. Now here's Joshua. He's gone away in the past as a servant. Now he is the man. He is the leader, and he's never been this way before. And if there is failure, the buck will stop with him. He's never been this way before. And now he's going to get the opportunity. And even though this man had been filled with such faith and said 40 years earlier, we are well able to conquer Canaan. Obviously, there must be a little bit of fear and trembling in this man because God himself has to go and encourage him to go forward. I don't know what menacing challenges are in your life today. I mean, there are a lot of things I don't find out till after the fact. There are things and burdens, heartaches that you might be carrying, trials that you're going through that you have not made me aware of. And others around you may not know what's going on. You may be facing menacing challenges, but whatever they are, there is a God who wants to help you through it. The people complained that there were giants in the land. We look like grasshoppers in their eyes, and sometimes your problems, your trials may seem like giants, and you may feel like a grasshopper, but there's a God who can help you through it. You notice here in chapter 1, the end of verse 5, where God says, as I was with Moses, so I will be with thee. I will not fail thee, nor forsake thee. You can look, and I can look back at people who seem to have great victories in their life. Great challenges, great trials, great heartaches. And we hear these amazing testimonies about how God overcame and God brought victory. Seemingly out of nowhere, God brought victory to their life. God used those things in their life for good. And God says to Joshua, you saw that with Moses, and I'm going to do the exact same thing in your life that I did in the man that you admired and loved so much. Think of the Christian, no matter if it's a missionary or an evangelist or a pastor, whether it's just someone that you have known, a believer that you have so greatly admired because of their great walk with faith. You've seen God work in them to overcome such great odds. You look at them and admire them. God says, I want to do the exact same thing in you that I did in them. As I was with Moses, Joshua, I will be with you. I don't know what menacing challenges you're facing. I don't know what giants you're looking at makes you feel so small and inadequate. But I do know this. There is a God willing to help you. You do not have to face your enemy alone, whatever that enemy is. In fact, he tells us that. Book of Hebrews chapter 13, we know the end of verse 5. Most of you have it memorized. For he has said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. Never. Never. Now there are times where it may feel like he's not around. But he's there. He was there for Esther. He was there for Mordecai. You don't see the name God mentioned in the book of Esther, but he was there. And he brought them through. We often quote the last half of Hebrews 13:5, but we need to remember the words of the next verse. If you want to turn there, you can. Hebrews 13. And look at verse 6. Again, in the middle of verse 5, he says, for he hath said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. And then these words, so that we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper, and I will not fear what man shall do unto me. Now, I want you to notice the last phrase in verse 6. I will not fear what man shall do unto me. And maybe underline that word shall. Can I say this? It's not that things won't be done to you. The point is, I won't fear when things are done to me. If you are expecting your life to be tribulation free, it doesn't work that way. If you think that your life will be free from heartache, it doesn't work that way. And God never intended it to be that way. And we're told that over and over again in God's word. Jesus said it to his disciples, in this world ye shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. Peter said it. My brethren, think it not strange concerning the fiery trials which are to try you, as though some strange thing happened unto you. These things are going to happen. And there in Hebrews 13, verse 6, I will not fear what man shall do unto me. There are some ugly things coming your way. Teenagers, there are some ugly things coming your way. And some of you have already been through a lot of ugly things. There's a whole bunch more coming. It's called life. Man is born unto trouble as the sparks fly upward. But don't forget this. I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. I love the book of Isaiah. In Isaiah chapter 41, verse 10. In fact, I used this a couple weeks ago. Fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will strengthen thee. Yea, I will help thee. Yea, I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness. He said, don't be afraid. I'm here. And I'll help you every step of the way. And I want you to notice back in Joshua chapter 1 that three times God commanded Joshua to be courageous. Notice verse 6. Be of a good courage. Verse 7. Only be thou very courageous. Verse 9. Have I not commanded thee? Be of a good courage. Listen. This is not a suggestion. This is God looking you square in the face. And He says, you as my child, this is what I expect you to do. I expect you to show courage in whatever you're going through. Doesn't matter what it is. You may have got a pink slip at work. God says, I expect you to be courageous. You may have heard the words of your child in rebellion and it struck fear in your heart. And God says, I want you to be courageous. You may have gotten news that you got someone you love dearly, a mom or dad or someone, you know, maybe in another state that you've heard discouraging words about, and their life may not be long, and you get fearful. And God says, be courageous. He commands us. If you were to look at that definition of the word courage, you might read something like this. It's the ability to do something that frightens you. Now you notice Brother Paul, when he forgot his suit jacket today, and then he spilled tea all over his shirt, and he's all frustrated today. But you probably noticed when he got up here, the weapon on his side. Well, you know, former U.S. Marshal, he can carry that weapon fine and all that. I have never been in situations like he has been in, life-threatening situations. You know, we've got a lot of men who have been in law enforcement, and some have been in life and death situations. We have a lot of former military personnel who have been on the battlefield. Brother Street still bears a bullet in his back from Vietnam. Listen, we have men, even some women here, who have been in life and death situations. I've never been in that position before. When I talk to the veterans, and when I talk to these people who've been in law enforcement, this is what I find. It's not an absence of fear. It's strength through fear. Listen, if you know 50 yards from you, there's a man pointing a rifle at your head, you'd be crazy not to be a little bit nervous. That's what helps you duck, you know. Keeps your head down. Listen, courage is not the absence of fear. Courage is the ability to do something even when you're frightened. There's another part to that definition that says this. Courage is the strength in the face of pain or grief. Surely He hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Can I tell you something? Whatever grief or pain you may be going through, Christ already went through it for you. I truly, literally believe what I'm told in Isaiah 53 means that before the grief that I've had to deal with in my life, He already bore that exact grief on Calvary. And He understands me perfectly. Whatever grief you are going through and the sorrows that you are experiencing or will experience, He has already borne on Calvary. He understands them exactly. Exactly. And He said, I want you, it's a command, not a suggestion, a command to be courageous in the midst of what sometimes may seem overwhelming. God commanded Joshua to be very courageous in the face of overwhelming challenges. Whatever your challenge today is, God is saying the same thing. Be thou very courageous. I want you to be brave. We got a lot of millennials in our church, and that's a good thing. It really is. So one of the comments that people make, you got all kind of ages in your church. And that's not necessarily always typical in churches, but God has been very merciful to us in that. And I'm a little bit nervous when I make any comments that sounds negative to the younger generation. But how many have heard the term snowflake? Okay, you know what the snowflake terminology means. You know, it's that person who, when something is said or something is done that they don't like or that hurts them, they've got to have this cry room on the college campus. They've got to have this safe space where they can go because somebody said something, you know, that offended me, and I'm going to go and cry. I'm just going to cry. Listen, you watch me cry. There's nothing wrong with tears. Jeremiah was a weeping prophet. Jesus wept. Listen, there's nothing wrong with tears. But there's something wrong when you got to go and have a meltdown and breakdown, and I just can't handle life. grow up, and get some courage about you and go forward. You say, what happens, you know, if God doesn't seemingly deliver me from these problems? Be courageous and go forward. Be courageous and go forward. Listen, it's not the removal of the enemy in your life. It's the courage to face your enemy and go forward. It doesn't matter what the enemy is. Jesus refers to death as the enemy. God says, go forward. Go forward. You may think, you know, we're going through these marriage classes. You may think your spouse is the enemy, which they're not. Go forward in your marriage. Whatever the case may be, God says, I want you to be courageous. It's not a suggestion. It's a command. Notice something else. Three times God commanded Joshua to be strong. Verse 6, be strong. Verse 7, only be thou strong. Verse 9, have not I commanded thee? Be strong. What does the word strong mean? It means strong. You say, well, that's, Pastor, that's not really a possibility. Man, if I am fearful and my knees are trembling, it's just impossible to be strong. It's impossible to be valiant. Listen, that is true if you're relying on your strength, but not if you learn to rely as we're commanded to rely on God's strength. Where does strength come from? It really doesn't come from you. It comes from the Lord. Remember those words in Isaiah 41:10, I will strengthen thee. I'm not asking you to strengthen yourself. I'm asking you to show some courage and go forward in the midst of your fear. But I am the one who will give you strength. It could be that you look at being strong as this mindset, you know, all of a sudden I get this charge of energy in my body and all of a sudden I no longer tremble and I no longer cower in the face of the enemy. And that's not necessarily what God is saying to you at all. So how do you get strength? Well, it's interesting to me what you see here in Joshua chapter 1 and then back in Deuteronomy chapter 3 verse 28. And there, when Moses was still alive and God said, Moses, you may not cross into Canaan because you did not obey me, because you did not honor me in the face of my people. I want you to go and I want you to ordain Joshua to lead the people in. But now, Moses, I want you to go and give your servant Joshua a little bit of a pep talk. You know what? I have found that encouragement can go a long way to help give me strength. And it's a God-ordained thing. Deuteronomy 3:28 says this. God speaking to Moses, he says, but charge Joshua and encourage him and, listen to this, strengthen him. Moses, you strengthen Joshua through encouragement, for he shall go over before this people. Now here in Joshua 1, we find God doing the encouraging. There God used a human instrument. You know, our theme this year has been serving one another, love one another, pray for one another. And in the book of Malachi chapter 3, you find God's people encouraging one another. And the Bible says God took note of it and wrote it in his book. When the people, what? Spoke often one to another. What were those words? Words of encouragement. When everybody else in Judah was beginning to go into a backslidden condition, they were saying it's vain to serve God. There was a group, a remnant within the remnant that encouraged one another every day. Keep going forward for God. Don't give up. Don't give up. Don't give up. Don't quit. Don't falter in the face of the fear that you're coming up against. You stay strong. God used human instruments to keep people going forward. And that's what God did. God said, Moses, you've led before. You've been down the road that Joshua is about to go down. I want you, Moses, to go to Joshua and encourage him. And I can kind of imagine Moses saying, hey, Joshua, I need to talk to you a little bit. Joshua, you come on into my tent. And you know, right there in the front of the tabernacle is where Aaron and Moses had their tents pitched, and there I can just see Joshua going in, and they sit down. And Moses looks at him and says, "Now, Joshua, you know, God said I don't get to cross over into Jordan. I disobeyed God, and I can't go over. And you know, Joshua, that God told me to ordain you to lead the people into the promised land. Now, Joshua, you've always been my servant. You've never been in a leadership position, and now you're going to. And if there had ever been blame before, as you have seen, Joshua, the blame goes to the one in charge. Now, Joshua, you're in charge. You've never been this way before, and I know you're a little bit nervous. And you know the way these people can react. And there's a little bit of fear with what you're about to do. So let me just encourage you and remind you, Joshua, that when God put me in leadership position, I felt the same way that you feel now. And I told God, I'm not able to speak. I'm not able to lead these people. God, I can't do this. And God said, yes, you can. And you know what I found? God could strengthen me. And God could use me. And He did, to lead the people out of Egypt and through the wilderness to the brink of going into the land of promise. All these years, God has been faithful to do exactly what He said He would do for me. And Joshua, I want you to know, brother, that God is going to do the exact same thing in you. Now listen, when somebody sits down with me and talks to me that way, that does strengthen me. And you know what? You, in your life today, may have already gone through something that you know somebody in the congregation is going through, and God's going to use a human instrument like you to go to that person and sit down with them and say, let me encourage you and let me strengthen you so that you can go forward and face what you're about to face. Let me do this for you. We talk about the Apostle Paul. And you've heard it out of my mouth many times. Greatest Christian ever live. You've heard a lot of preachers say, greatest Christian ever live. Well, you know, that's opinion, I guess. But there's a lot of evidence to kind of back that up. We know he was a great man. We know he was a man who saw miraculous things done through his life. Thousands of people brought to Christ. Responsible for much of what we read in the New Testament. We know his greatness. We know how he stood against the enemy. We know how he was willing to go through those things for Jesus' sake. But to me, there's an interesting statement made about the Apostle Paul. I want you to go back with me to the book of Acts. The book of Acts. And like God speaking to Joshua and encouraging him, you'll find the same thing in Acts chapter 18, verses 9 and 10. Acts 18, verses 9 and 10. Paul is in Corinth. Paul knows what it means to be beaten and imprisoned. He knows what it meant to have people threaten your life and try to do you harm. He knows those kind of things. And in chapter 18 of Acts, verse 9, I want you to notice these words. Then spake the Lord to Paul in the night by a vision, be not afraid, but speak, and hold not thy peace. For I am with thee, and no man shall set on thee to hurt thee, for I have much people in the city. Paul, listen, I just want you to know I'm with you, and I don't want you to be afraid. God himself encouraged Paul. But you know what's interesting to me, the verse I really want to take you to, is Acts chapter 28. Again, you know the story of Paul appealing to be taken to Rome to stand before the Caesar to appeal his case. He is taken by ship through the Mediterranean, headed toward Rome. You know about all that befell him, the shipwrecks, all the terrible things that went on and how God delivered him. And now that he has taken the last voyage and he sets foot on land, notice Acts chapter 28, verse 14. Where we found brethren and were desired to tarry with them 7 days, and so we went toward Rome, verse 15. And from thence, when the brethren heard of us, they came to meet us as far as Appii Forum and the three taverns, whom when Paul saw, now notice these words, he thanked God and took, what's the last word? It wasn't God who encouraged him. It was those unnamed brethren at Appii Forum. We're not told their names. We don't know who they were. We don't know how long. Obviously, it was a very short encounter. But God used a group of nameless believers to encourage the great St. Paul. Because he knew, voyage is done, and now I'm about to step in front of the most powerful man on the face of the earth, the Caesar of Rome. And he has, in that moment, really the power of life and death. And even someone as seasoned and as mature and as great in their walk with God as Paul still got the advantage of being encouraged by human instruments. Look at me. If God is working in your life in answering prayer and you see a brother or sister who is struggling, going through some trial, you say, well, let God encourage them. They should be listening to God and not faltering and not being cowardly and all, you know, all this stuff. Listen, maybe God wants to use you to encourage that brother or sister in Christ. God says be strong. You can't be strong yourself, though. God may just use someone to help strengthen you through encouragement. Now, there's another way in which we find God working to give us strength, and that is by this book. Listen, here's reality. You will leave this place and go home and spend most of your week apart from your brethren here. Now, listen to me. Forsake not the assembling of yourselves together after the manner of some is, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. You ought to be in this place every chance you can be here. Brother, if you are hindered providentially by sickness or work, understood. Otherwise, Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, revival meetings, missions conferences, you ought to make a beeline for the house of God. You ought to be here. In fact, God commands it. Now, here's the reason. Because you need the encouragement of the brethren around you. But going back to what I was saying, you know, you'll walk away from this place today and spend the majority of your week not around the brethren to encourage you. Something else is going to have to encourage you. This can encourage you. This can encourage you. Psalm 119 verse 28 says this, my soul melteth. Now listen, I just kind of nailed the snowflake, you know, phenomena that's going on in our nation where we say the snowflakes melt every time something, you know, says boo to them and they just kind of fall all apart. Can I tell you something? Sometimes I fall apart too. Can I be honest? Sometimes I melt too. And the psalmist said, my soul melteth. Why? For heaviness. You got something burning you, some heaviness there in your life. Here's what the psalmist said. He said, yes, God, this is the state I'm in. I am melting for heaviness. And he says to God, strengthen thou me. What are the last words? According to thy word. God, I need your word to get me through this. I know I've told the account many, many times, and maybe you get tired of hearing it, but it will always be special to me. Back 1999, 2000, when Chris was critically ill, the doctor said, told us, he's developing these extra veins, AV malformations, and it will take his life. And he will have a limited amount of time before something will need to be done. Their solution? A Fontan surgery in which we reroute veins and draw enzymes off the liver to strengthen his heart and lungs to help overcome these AV malformations. All this, of course, I'm no doctor, so I can't explain all the technical side. And they said, now, when this happens, when we do the surgery, one of two things will happen. He'll die, or he'll survive and will extend his life, but it'll be less less active and more lethargic than he was before. Now, listen, we're watching a kid who's always blue around the mouth and can't do what other children do, and you hear the words, he'll be even worse than he is now, but will just extend his life. Those aren't very encouraging words. And I remember, you know, as I've said before, I don't remember why or how God directed me to really just focus on Psalm 91, but I latched onto that months before that first of the major surgeries, and began to memorize it and hide it in my heart. And I can say this, since that time, there's not a day passes where I don't go to Psalm 91 and quote Scripture, and God uses it to encourage me. Especially, you know, Chris has had some times here recently where he's had to go to the hospital last couple weeks, he's in the hospital, those kind of things. And, you know, there are times where all those feelings just start flooding back. And you know what? God says, Psalm 91, and go to Psalm 91. Just let God's word encourage me. You know why? Because I can't always have Jack Streets there to encourage me. And I can't always have Harold McRae there to encourage me. But I always have God's word. Thy word have I hid in mine heart. And I don't want to sin against God and doubt him and run and cower in fear. Thy word have I hid in mine heart that I might not sin against thee. God wants to use this book in your life. And he will. This book is literally changing me. Now, you don't know me like my sister knows me. But I'm not the same as I used to be. It's because of this. This book can change your life. And you don't even realize it's happening. It's kind of like a little boy or a little girl who wants to grow. They want to grow. They want to be tall. And dad takes them over the door and notches a little place where the top of their head touches. And, you know, they want to go back the next day. And they want to be 3 inches taller. And they go and it hasn't changed. And, you know, day after day, week after week, it doesn't really seem to change. And they get discouraged and they walk away from it. And then a year later, they go back and find out they've grown this much. Whoa. I really am growing. Listen, you go to God's word sometimes from day to day. You may not see the difference, but this book will change you. But you've got to spend time in it. I cannot be there for you every moment of every day. No one in this congregation can be there for you every moment of every day. But this book can be there. It's the one weapon that God gives us in Ephesians 6 that is both spiritual and literal. You can carry a New Testament with you. So I'm not very good memorizing. Okay, there's a lot of people who claim that. It's interesting, you can memorize your way to work. You can memorize how to butter your toast, but you can't memorize a few verses in the Bible. Now that's the argument people give. Okay, let's play along with that argument. I can't memorize very well, but you can do this. Ladies, you can carry a Bible in your pocketbook. Gentlemen, you can carry a New Testament in your pocket. And when you're sitting there at the doctor's office and fear is overwhelming, you can whip it out and spend time in God's Word. This book will give you encouragement if you'll spend time letting it encourage you. There's one other way to gain strength, and it's found in another account of Paul's life. There in 2 Corinthians chapter 12, you know it. You can turn there if you want, but you don't have to. 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 9 and 10. Paul has a thorn in the flesh. I believe personally, just my opinion. So just note that, opinion, Pastor Vaughn, opinion. I don't know for sure, but I think it was something physical. I think there was a physical issue going on with Paul, a thorn in the flesh. And he prays, God, deliver me. He prays again, God, deliver me. A third time, God, deliver me from the thorn in the flesh. And I know we often say, God never says no. Somebody should have told Paul that. Because God said, no, I'm not going to deliver you. I'm going to give you something better. I'm going to give you something better. 2 Corinthians 12, verses 9 and 10. And he said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength. Now listen to this. For my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, I rather glory in mine infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches. Notice this next word, in necessities, in persecutions, in distresses for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, you know the rest of it, what? Then am I strong. Then am I strong. Let me just sum it up this way. Paul came to the point in his life where there was utter dependence upon God. God, you are my strength. God, you are my strength. Utter dependence. Now listen, that doesn't set well with Americans. Our culture, we take pride in our independence. Well, that's not a bad thing. I'm not condemning that because I'm an American too and I like my independence also. But that's not what God wants for your Christian life. God wants you to be totally dependent upon Him. And go to Him and say, God, I have no strength. I can't do this. God says, let my grace be sufficient for you. Let my strength be made perfect in your weakness. Back there in Joshua chapter 1. Just want you to look at these two last verses with me. Joshua chapter 1. I want you to look again at verses 7 and 8. Only be thou strong and very courageous, that thou mayest observe to do according to all the law which Moses my servant commanded thee. Turn not from it to the right hand or to the left, that thou mayest prosper whithersoever thou goest. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make the way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. Notice in verses 7 and 8, he tells Joshua this, do not turn from my word. Don't you turn from my word and the instruction I give you. What are we told by James? Be doers of the word and not hearers only. Here's my problem. I can sit down, I can listen to my brother-in-law, or I can listen to other great men working over in the gymnasium. You know, it's kind of fun by myself, turn on all these messages, you know, Sam, Dr. Gibbs, all these people just, you know, just having a heyday, listening to all these great preachings. Say, that's a great message. And sometimes people walk out and say, that was a good message, Pastor Vaughn. I don't know if they're being honest, but they tell me that to encourage me. So, you know, you get this message and you hear it and you say, that's good. Then what do? What do we tend to do? We leave it at the door. And the Word of God that's intended to change us, we leave at the door. And God said, let me warn you. Don't you just be a hearer of this book. And don't you just placate the evangelist or the missionary or the pastor who stands in this pulpit and preaches God's word. That's a good message, preacher. Be a hearer. Obviously, God wants you to be here. And be a doer of God's word. And do not turn from it. He says, and I want you to do this. I want you to meditate in it. How many times have you read something that really struck your heart? And you say, well, that was convicting, or boy, that was encouraging. And by noon, you have forgotten what it was you read. God says, I expect you to meditate in my word. Not just read it. To meditate therein. And then the final warning, if you would, the final command of Joshua says, and I want you to observe to do it. Listen, don't turn from it, meditate therein, and observe to do what my word is commanding you. Observe to do it. The word observe, it means to take heed. It means to regard what God is saying. Can I ask you, is that the case in your life? I hope it is. You know why? Because you need to be strengthened, and Pastor Vaughn cannot strengthen you. I can't do it. I see young people, children in this room, listen, mom and dad can say right words to you, but they really can't strengthen you. Wife, your husband really can't strengthen you. Husband, your wife really can't strengthen you in and of themselves, but this book can. And your God can. And He wants to. But you have to allow Him to. I had this thought. You realize you can never lose. You can never lose. Even death day becomes victory day if you're in Christ. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be unto God, which giveth us what? The victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. I cannot lose. This morning, I was getting showered up, listening to the testimony of a woman who was speaking at a ladies' conference, and she and her husband had been missionaries for many years with the China Inland Mission in the Philippines. Served God faithfully, went through all kinds of things. This is years, decades ago. They came home. He came home to get a doctorate. She came home and was getting a master's. They were at Winona Lake, Indiana, which was a huge conference, a Bible conference area there. And while they're going to school, he was still young. They had two small boys, and he goes out to jog and drops over dead with a massive heart attack. You know, you don't know how long you have. But you know this, that the moment your heart stops and the brave wave cease to function, to be absent from the body is what? You can't lose. You can't lose. Even in something like that, you can't lose. Praise the Lord for it. So, take courage and be strong and find your strength in the Lord and go forward. That pastor friend of mine is faced with the reality of his granddaughter's cancer, and not necessarily a promise that she'll be healed from it. But as he witnessed to me, he has taken courage and finding strength in the Lord. And I would encourage a Christian to do the same. Let's bow our heads for prayer. With your heads bowed, your eyes closed, I don't know exactly what you may be going through, but I do know this, that whatever you're going through, God wants to strengthen you. And He will. He might use other saints. He will definitely use His Word. And He wants you to learn to put total dependence on Him. So He says, you be courageous and don't cower in the face of what you're battling. And let me strengthen you. So you don't have to be afraid. Because I'm there, He says. Some of you may find it hard to trust Him. Maybe this morning you need to come and just recommit yourself to trust Him like you ought. If you happen to be here this morning, you say, you know what, that all sounds well and good, but you know what, I really don't know this Jesus in that personal way that you folks talk about here. And you know what, you can know that, and we'd be glad to have somebody take the Bible and show you from God's Word how you can know that you're on your way to heaven. That you can have His victory in your life by turning from your sin and putting your faith in the shed blood of Jesus Christ. He wants to save you. It's a gift He wants to give. And if you've never done that and you would like to speak to someone about that, when we give this time of invitation, I encourage you to come and we'll have somebody take you aside and show you how you can know. Father, I pray you take your word, use it in hearts today as you see fit, and we'll thank you for it. I pray these things in Jesus' name. We'll stand with our heads bowed and as music begins, if you need to come to this altar, I encourage you right now, you make your way.